This is a free recording by Cambridge Cookbooks, etc. We hope you enjoy and benefit from the content. Also, please consider donating to the new Cambridge Mosque. Please visit cambridgemosqueismoving.org.uk.
So events such as this are nothing new. We hear about the novelty of the Muslim presence and the newness with which Muslims are asked to deal with the West, modernity, Britishness, integration, all of those things, but in fact this is something that has been going on for at least 100 years and probably longer. Nonetheless, the questions are fresh, they haven't gone away. And one way in which one can deal with all of these tugs at our identity are probably still rather pallid and wan sense of self is actually to enjoy the process. Actually to find the tussle of disparate voices and claims and scientific views of religion and religious views of science and of modernity and of secularity, the East-West divide here in Cambridge, something that one can enjoy. And that's a measure of the strength of one's personality. One would like to think that if you're smart enough to have got into a university such as this, then you're smart enough to be able to enjoy the alleged clash of civilizations and the duty that it imposes upon us to stand colossus-like astride this supposed divide. Everybody nowadays has a complex identity. But I think ours as British Muslims or as European Muslims, or if we're from overseas, Muslims who are from indigenous cultures but nonetheless participating one way or another in modernity, is actually to find it stimulating and exciting, to disprove this negative talk of clashes and actually to get the most out of the fascinating situation of being authentically a member of the Western world, the modern world's cutting-edge research university, the holy city of Darwin, no less, and you'll see his prophetic features everywhere you go in Cambridge. We recently had an anniversary of his. And also to be part of the last surviving intact traditional religion. We're the last people who continue to worship the way that we've already always worshipped, who continue to maintain the doctrines and the creeds that we had 1,000 years ago. We famously are immobile, and we're very happy to be immobile. So let's see if we can figure out ways of enjoying that experience as we embark not only on the obvious moralizing about the importance of hard work, attending lectures, getting supervision essays in on time, showing ourselves and our communities in the best possible light by being better than everybody else, by being high achievers, by being disciplined people who avoid nonsense such as the drink culture or the party culture and the other forms of dissolution which get in the way of the success of so many others here in Cambridge. Let's do something more interesting than reflecting on that by reflecting on the fact that we are in this extraordinary situation. Here, East meets West. This is the very heart of modernity. Cambridge is where DNA was discovered, where Newton made his discoveries, where the Reformation, the English Reformation, was launched from a pulpit just down the road in St. Edward's Church, where so much happened that shaped the world that we believe to challenge us so profoundly, and yet here we are, right in its heart, and inshallah, thriving and making ourselves at home. So let's see if we can find a way of having a good time here. Not as party boys and party girls waking up with a headache, but as people who are enriching ourselves and figuring out ways of living in our own lives a solution to the alleged clash which, according to the headlines, is dividing our world. A few thoughts on some of these paradoxes. We tend to think that Islam is a single thing, but of course it has many strands of interpretation, many points of view, many levels of education, many persuasions within it. Similarly, the West is not a single thing, and its Christian narrative is not a single thing. This church, for instance, belongs to a denomination, the Congregationalists, which emerged as a banned minority some 300 years ago. My own ancestors were preachers in the Congregationalist tradition. And so odd is it that this church is actually the only church in the country, to my knowledge, that has a stained glass window of Oliver Cromwell. And if you know something about Oliver Cromwell, you can try and figure that out. He's the one who smashed all of the images in Ely Cathedral. He was like Britain's Taliban. He didn't like images, pictures, sculptures of any kind. But there's a stained glass window in his immortal memory in this church. And within the Congregationalist tradition, you find Unitarians, you find dissenters of various kinds who simply didn't buy the official teaching on the Trinity, the blood atonement, the incarnation, the standard doctrines which Christians had accepted since, say, the 3rd or the 4th century, and instead tried to go back to the original teachings, as they understood it, of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. Cambridge is one of the centres of English dissent, one of the centres of Unitarian dissent. And if we're trying to put down roots here and seeing that it's not them and us, but ways of being us, actually overlap substantially with ways of being them, Cambridge is an interesting place to do that. Look at Newton working away with his alchemical equipment, bubbling in the basement of Trinity College. He was only allowed to be a fellow there by a special letter that came from the king, a letter patent which exempted him from subscribing to the 39 Articles of the Church of England. He didn't believe in the Trinity. He didn't attend chapel. He believed in what he took to be the original teachings of Sayyidina Isa, alayhi salam, human beings and God, human beings adoring God. That was what he thought was true religion. And he wrote a book in Latin in which he expounds, of course it couldn't be published at the time, a doctrine that actually, to Muslims, seems to be correct. You can go through that text from beginning to end, and as a Muslim, you wouldn't disagree with what this man in the rough was writing 300, 400 years ago in his cellar in Trinity College. Milton also had a connection with Cambridge. Milton, another famous Arian or a famous Unitarian. Many others, Peter Barrow, for instance, who was a fellow at Jesus College, Newton's successor, I've forgotten his name, but another distinguished astronomer royal, similarly was thrown out of the university for not believing in the Trinity. So when we think of coming here as paradoxical beings, namely the symbols of the West's significant other, representatives of the other side in the West's imagined clash of civilization, finding ourselves in this fascinating situation right in the heart of the supposed other, we find that the other is not a single thing, but there are many voices, conscientious human beings within the story of the other, going way back to the time when that strange stained glass window was commissioned, or to the time of Milton, Newton, Peter Barrow, and beyond, who actually were thinking similar thoughts to the way in which Muslims think about religion. I think that's important, because if we're to construct something that is a sense of self, which is not just, there's this bit of me that's kind of from Pakistan, or from Egypt, or from Turkey, or from elsewhere, there's this bit of me that I know really resonates with the sitcoms, and with Monty Python, and with the British way, and bringing them together is kind of tricky, and maybe that's a real issue in my soul. It doesn't have to be like that. Find ways, and there's no single way, find a way that is right for you of integrating the best of the two so that you become authentically yourself as somebody who has an integrated identity and hence can be inwardly at peace. So no moralizing about doing well in exams or about getting on with your director of studies, but instead perhaps a moralizing about the way in which we can really get the most out of being in this place, which is to figure out your own way of being authentically part of the great glorious narrative of Islam, now implanted here, thanks to Abdullah Quilliam, but perhaps here before that, in the heart of the West, and authentically a part of the increasingly proliferating multicultural reality of the modern West and modern Europe. We're in difficult times. The tension between Muslims and others in Europe and elsewhere with burqa bans, minaret bans, and other proposed bans is probably not going to go away. But if anybody is going to show the world and the Muslims and the West how the two are not necessarily in conflict, it's people like yourselves who combine the best of the two within themselves, absolutely uncompromising their commitment to the Quran and the Hadith, but authentically part of the larger discussion of the West and finding a niche for themselves that can be authentically labeled Western and Muslim, that is so clearly successful and so stable that nobody really can challenge it. But I said that there isn't a single template, a single recipe, a single British Muslim identity. I don't think there can be such a thing, because Britishness is such a vague category anyway. Who could create a checklist of things that you have to be or do or think or like in order to be British? It would be impossible. Instead, we need to be figuring out our identities for ourselves. And the best thing that you can get here in these 3 or 4 years that you're staying here is, as well as the degree inshallah and future success, is to find who you are and to strengthen who you are as a Muslim who is authentically part of the modern reality. So inshallah we'll all be given tawfiq in this. And inshallah, we'll all find that our experience here strengthens us in our deen and strengthens us in our determination to make this part of the world a better place, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum.